सहनाववतु सहनो भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभ निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितदद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगुणा। देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। हरि ओम्। I hope you're all enjoying the nice weather we have been getting last few days. So, I did not prepare for any Bhagavad Gita or anything. So, what I will share is through my mind. So, before doing that, I was thinking if you had any questions from your study group classes and would like to share those, we can go through those. Get a different perspective, and then if time remains, I'll just share some thoughts from Bhagavad Gita. You don't have to prepare questions. The questions, they come like this. See? Yes. Okay. How is the learning here really helpful for the shooting that is happening out there? Learning here is helpful because when we interact with others around us, we pass the positive vibes. But if we ourselves are stuck in the samsara, I don't know where to go, what to do, then I only pass on that negativity. Oh, this person did this wrong to me today. And then that other person takes on this idea. And then they say, oh, this person did wrong to me this day. I remember that. And we only share these thoughts. Wherever there is positive influence, positive creativity is given to mind to think in positive ways. So the benefit that I see is, it may not have a direct impact at the event that is happening there, but an impact that is happening is slowly in increments through the surroundings that we change around us. But we truly have to believe that we are changing ourselves. We cannot kid ourselves and think, oh, I'm just coming to mission or listening to Bhagavad Gita or in study group for hour, and that does it. That hardly does anything. What really does is when we force ourselves to think outside of this setting. It becomes really natural to think in this setting because the setting has created that environment for us to think. What truly is difficult is when we are outside and then we are forced to think about this. And if we have not cultivated our lifestyle that way, those thoughts itself will not come. Therefore, we change our lives and things around us will change. Other thought is, if we truly go through this path, and in this path, if we achieve the liberation, this is speaking from truly Vedantic perspective, then where is dukkha, where is sorrow? There is no dukkha, there is no sorrow. Not to say that we are running away from sorrow, but to truly see dukkha and sorrow as transactional. Now, having thought that for myself, that doesn't mean I feel empathy for those who suffered through this. When I see them, when I meet them, I should feel that empathy. Not sympathy. Sympathy is easy. You just feel sorry for somebody and that's it. When you really empathize, you feel like you should do something. You feel like you should make a change in some way. That truly is beneficial. So when you hear the situations, and if you have gone through this vichara, then I feel that that should give us that ability to change our lives. Those, you know, students or people who were not so beneficial to achieve, or not beneficial, but their misfortune was that they could not see the portion of life ahead of them. Whereas we have gone to such stage, surpassed, we can think, you know, where have I brought my life? Where should I have taken this? And we can change ourselves in this way. So change ourselves and things around us will change. And if you have the capacity, if you have the time and effort to give, go out there, help them out. Volunteer in some services. So these are other ways. Yes. One is to know that we can never help anybody if the person who wants help doesn't feel like they need help. So the person has to really feel that I need help. Till then, nobody can help the person. And the other thing is that if we push at the person, that this even thought of, you know, you should change, or you should think positively, or you should, they all go like a bouncer off their head. They just, because they don't have any feeling for it, they don't have any thought about it. So what we think is valuable may not be valuable for the other. So in those situations, you try to show positivity in your life. You try to show that how this thought itself is making you positive. And if you showcase to that person that this thought really has that benefit, they themselves will see how it really has changed. Certain life lessons can be only learned when somebody goes through those lessons. Maybe through that hardship they have to go through. So because they have to go through that, we let them go through that. Only thing is they should know that once that hardship is done, if they want to come back, they can come back to you. That you are that support for them if they want that support ever. So I think that is one way to keep that open, but I don't feel that you can ever say that I can help this person out of this mess. Nobody can. You can try to help, and as you were saying, that it will just throw a pushback on you. And certain times we think that we are too smart, that if I could just talk this person out of this way or create situation, it just, there's a different way of it being backfired. So the best way is to remain positive and to give positive thoughts. We become aggressive when we see their aggressive nature. That just backfires even more. So the thought is to stay positive. Other is, if that person will listen, bring them into surroundings where it is more sattvic. Satsangatve nissangatvam. Nissangatve nirmohatvam. So when you create satsanga, the time that went into being disturbed by all these thoughts or being focused on external things, that period of time that they were there, they were in the positive vibe. So maybe that positive vibe will have some impact. So create a form of satsanga. And if we can do that, I think that can also be beneficial. Sure. The question was that how, as a grihastha, one can be still a renunciate. So grihastha dharma never means that I have to be tied to the house. Grihastha dharma doesn't mean I have to be tied to the sense objects. Grihastha dharma means that I enjoy the pleasures of this world, but after enjoying, I give that up. It is like the ganna, the sugar cane. Once you have chewed up the sugar cane, you don't keep, not sugar cane, yeah, that cane. Once you have chewed it up, you don't keep it in your mouth thinking that it will give you more joy. You throw it out. Similarly, the approach should be towards the sense objects of this world. That they will give me pleasure, so I will enjoy them, but I should have that discrimination to throw them out once I have enjoyed it. So dispassion in grihastha dharma is that when I do my action, I need not stay focused on my result, one. When I am surrounded by the sense objects, I should know that they don't really belong to me. They've just been entrusted upon me for the welfare of the family, for the welfare of the society. So because they have been entrusted upon me, I'm just a caretaker for now. There was a very nice story that I had heard where there was one man, and I believe he was Muslim, but he somehow came into this path of Hindu spirituality, meaning Vedanta. And he was so interested that in his young age, he was spending a lot of time But somehow, you know, he had to get married. So he got married and he went through this Grihastha Jeevan. But one thought that he ever kept in his mind was that I will not give up this satsanga. I will not give up this thought at all. Fine, I have to take care of my household chores, household livelihood, taking care of family, taking care of children. All those things he took care of. But then, once his children were grown up, he told them that, dear son, I have given you everything that you wanted. I have given you all the values in your life. All I want now is just a space in your house, and I don't want anything else from you. I don't want anything in return for all the things that I gave you. I just want a space in the house where I can now focus on these thoughts of spirituality. And through these thoughts, I can reach Bhagwan or reach that ultimate state. But that thought remained only when this person thought to himself that I don't want to give up this path. So even while doing the action, that thought has to remain that I am doing this only as a caretaker. I am not doing this as an owner. Because when there is ownership, then I have to also have enjoyership. But when you are a caretaker, you're not really concerned about the enjoyership. You just took care of it and then you did your job. Your focus was something different. So because that focus is there in mind, then once all my duties, all my responsibilities are over, I can then focus on the essential portion of this jivan, of this life. And that essential portion is my moksha, self-realization. So being detached doesn't really mean for Grihastha to give up the sense pleasures. Enjoy the pleasures, but see the fault in those pleasures. And then have that higher goal, which will allow us to even give up these things when our responsibilities have ended. Then we don't create more responsibilities and say, oh, now children, your grandchildren are coming, so I will take care of your grandchildren. You go off and you work. No, that is their responsibility. Let them learn how to be responsible about their children. So that should be the idea for Grihastha Jeevan. We should not feel that, you know, I have to follow the path of sannyas. I have to be totally dispassionate. I have to just give up food. I have to give up, chair. I don't sit on chair in the house. I have to sit on the floor. If you're doing it as a tapas for yourself, all well and good. But then to say the whole family sits together when the whole family is not interested, it will create more ruckus in the house. So tapas for ourselves is good. Tapas for making other people follow that is not good. So we can follow these as a sadhana in our life, but know that the spiritual goal has to be in the mind. Yes.
Doership and enjoyership. That means, especially in enjoyership, it means not seeking a particular result and accepting whatever result comes as prasada and giving up doership is a little bit more difficult. But we start by giving up, requiring a particular result. So that is clear in that few verses, that renunciation is not about giving up things, it's a mental thing more than a physical thing. And that's the biggest misunderstanding people have when they ask this question. That means renunciation means physically giving up something. It's not physically doing anything different, it's mentally giving up attachment. And also, renunciation is what you're willing to give up when you have to, not what you have, right? Like, biggest example is Sri Ramchandra, Bhagavan Ramchandra. So he enjoyed the whole princely life, but the moment he had to give up, he didn't blink. He gave up whatever he had, he gave up being a prince. So the ability to give up what you have at the blink of an eye when the situation demands is renunciation, not to not enjoy when they are around, right? That's the difference.
Yes.
So you enjoy when you have, but the moment you have to give up, you don't blink, you just give up. And then enjoy that giving up also. Enjoy the absence of things also. And when you get back again, enjoy again. So there is a basic misunderstanding that giving up means physically giving up, and you need to calibrate that.
The preparation is required. Preparation is required to naturally give up. When something is taken away from us, it becomes very difficult. We feel so sorrowful that, you know, this has to be taken away from me. And that's what we have been stuck into in this grihastha jivan. That all these joys that we experience, we feel I own them. We feel they are mine. So therefore, when time comes that they are taken away from us, we feel more sorrowful. But if we had willingly renounced it in our mind that they really didn't belong to me, then I didn't have any trouble giving them up. So that preparation is where we need to put effort.
The uncle repeats many, many times during his discourse that all you have to do is do exactly what you are doing, the way you are doing, just change the attitude that you are doing for the happiness of the Lord.
Yes.
Nothing to change, just change your attitude. That don't stop doing this, don't stop doing, just change the attitude that you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the Lord. So
yeah.
It has been repeated so many times in terms of this. So I have a question. During our last Dridrisha Vivek class, this question was raised, and I didn't have any answers to that, so I thought maybe we give blueprint to the Lord for our next. Vasana by preparing it. So, as we are discussing that jiva is nothing but a subtle body accompanied by reflected consciousness, identified by the gross body in the pure consciousness. So that is the definition of jiva. So we are discussing that, and we said, you know, we are giving the blueprint to the Lord. So somebody asked the question, which I said I'll check with you or Ankalji. How do you explain then in some cases people know their past lives? You know, we hear about the stories about somebody knowing their previous life experiences, or they know that I was here. And sometimes they have, again, I don't have the exact example, but we hear this in the newspaper or the news. How can you explain that people can remember something from their past lives?
So, how does science explain it?
Science doesn't explain from Vedantic point of view.
Obviously, that is science.
Yeah. So, because when you come to the Western culture, they don't have this reincarnation theory. You know? So they
Correct.
Just come here, enjoy, and go away. But we do believe in reincarnation. So we know that we have to live a pure life and maybe reduce our vasanas and give a blueprint which is completely clean so we don't come back again. But for people, because we don't know what we were in the past, but there are some cases where they know that they were their parents and they were born here and they have verified those facts, and it is fact. So I don't know if there's any Vedantic or it's just a coincidence. And,
exception to the Exception to the rule.
It's a science, and it's a mental science. Vedanta has nothing to do with it. Why are people able to tap into mind? Because mind is nothing but a storage of data. So that data one taps into, one is able to see in the back. I have heard, now I don't know how true it is, but I've heard that through this science, people can predict future also. What will be their next birth? And where will they go? And what will they do? So,
how do you prove that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you prove that?
You can't prove. I'm not saying it is a science of facts, but people are able to see their next birth. That is what somebody told me who actually practiced it. Yes. But Vedanta has nothing to do with it, because
Vedanta, but how can you explain? There was a question. Why not everybody remembers everything? Why only a very few remember their past birth? Or is there any way that we can do something to remember our past? So that was a question.
I think.
Not just saying.
Why do some people get an A and some people get a B? Because they didn't study very well. So your intellect and mind may not be able to tap into it.
But same thing, you know, Bhagavad Puran, there is a saying that when the Kali Yuga ends, it's going to come on the white horse and everything. We have a future already predicted. In a Bhagavad. Yeah, Kaliya, you know. So it is in our Bhagavad Puran that there is a future already been given.
Absolutely.
Coming on white horse and, you know, so.
Absolutely. Yes.
So is it that some of us
have better developed?
We carry that chip a little bit stronger than others. You know, just there may be some exceptional people who are able to hold on.
Yes.
Yeah, it could be because recently I went to a YouTube fair, and a 4-year-old child, she is able to say that she was Kalpana Chawla before. Now she is saying all their ancestral, you know, their parents. Four-year-old child is saying that she was Kalpana Chawla, and she had been in the space during this time. And a 4-year-old, if she can tell that, that's amazing. It doesn't need you.
So that's the thing. Vedanta, because it doesn't deal with it, it becomes very speculative and really has no purpose. One thing I think of is that which is blocked is blocked for a reason. Let it stay blocked. Why try to open it? Because it will just create another can of worms.
Yeah, we will find a shortcut to get out of the
car. No, we'll not.
No, if we know the,
if we think, yes.
Yeah, if we know the block, you know, so we'll try to get out of the karma.
We will not get out of karma that way. So, yes.
Yeah, I have a follow-up, a very basic question.
Hopefully not on this science.
About this one.
About the grahastha.
About the reincarnation.
Oh, no. Okay,
why,
if it's...
Why does it not split into two bodies?
Let's keep it to this Vedantic thought and not going to this thought. So what was the question?
You can choose not to ask it. Why only one body? Why does it...
Okay, then this is very speculative. I don't know the answer. Yes.
So when I'm talking to my son, 14-year-old son, and I was telling him, you are not this body or mind, and you are the Atman. And so the Atman, where does this Atman come from? And he was asking this question, and then God, and then where does Atman also come from, you know? So those kinds of constraints say that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. Similarly, you can apply it to Atman, so things like that, but it's not convincing for him yet.
The mind, which may not be able to grasp, I don't think it becomes beneficial to give them very subtle thoughts. So what I would say is, don't have to go into this thought of you are Atman, you are the Satchidananda Swarupa. Reason being is that mind will not be able to grasp. One is because from day one, the child was born, we have been telling them in subtle ways, my baby. Call papa, mama, you are a boy, you are a girl. We already put in, unknowingly, all these conditionings onto that mind. Now that conditioning has already become strong. So now that mind is not ready to decondition itself at that stage. So we don't try to decondition from childhood. What we should do is take that conditioned mind, which is not fully conditioned yet, to feet of Lord. Cultivate devotion for Lord. Cultivate faith that these things that happen, the karma that happens, is not because of our efforts, but it's because of Bhagwan's effort. The results that is gained is not because of our effort, but it is because of Bhagwan's effort. That devotion will keep the mind grounded. And once that mind is grounded, then when that mind has become subtle, it itself will carry to that level. And this conditioning is not just from this birth, right? This conditioning has been coming from many births. So to decondition it with these thought will just create more confusion for the child. So instead of that, bring the child more to Bhagwan. Cultivate faith. Have the child sit and do puja. Enjoy the puja. When they do that, they will see something extraordinary. And at that time, the mind is so fresh that it can catch on to this faith really fast. Once these thoughts come in, then the faith starts becoming weaker, shaken up. Somebody had a question here? I feel it doesn't stop because it never started. We thought that we had to inculcate values, we had to bring in these things. When the child who was growing up is only given this notion that if you do right or if you do hard work, you will be rewarded with something. Or if you behave, then as a behavior you will be rewarded. Or you know, the action that you are doing is your action. These thoughts have a built-in individuality in them. So we have been unknowingly putting this thought of do things more that are egoistic in nature. That will get you more things in life. So from the get-go itself, the thought that should have been inculcated is you do your action as you feel is right for you, but when you do the action, know that you are not acting. You are the instrument for Bhagwan. Why are we going to Balavihar? Not because I want. Say Bhagwan wants to come, Bhagwan wants us to come there. Make it as a meeting. This is our time to meet with Bhagwan. This is our appointment. We have an appointment with doctors every year. Why don't we make an appointment with Bhagwan to meet him once a week? Make the karma seem more as a fun thing and not as a egoistic thing, that I have to go because I have to learn. When I learn, I will gain values, I will learn, I'll be a better human being. Again, these are all values that are put in to become more egoistic. There's nothing wrong in that. They will also give us some values. But other approach can be is to remove that thought of karma itself and put in the thought of being an instrument. That thought will then get rid of the, you know, I should own the result also. Whatever we get is prasada. And when prasada we get, we should not just keep it to ourselves, we share it with others. So then the child will know that, oh, I don't have to just keep it for myself, I can just share it with others. That gives me more joy. Just consuming for myself, I will not just be ego-centered. So I feel that that just goes from get-go. There was never a time when I should have thought that I have to bring right values for child. I have to bring, right career for the child. Children, they themselves will pick all these things because their mind has come with such certain desires. So they will pick those. No matter how much we try to do or how much we try to change, it will not change. But what we can do is how they approach life with a positive value, with a positive attitude. I think that can be impacted based on the surrounding, based on things that we can do around us. So in that way, I feel that there's never a stop. Kind of continues, and it's a hard work, it's not an easy thing. We have to be more vigilant because they are not, at least when they are really young, you know, till they are in middle school and not until in high school, they have not gotten this idea itself. So we have to be vigilant of what they are thinking and what they are doing, but we don't have to inculcate this idea that they have to be independent, they have to work hard, they have to be more devotional. I'm only saying it from the devotional perspective is because the only thing that can ground us is devotion. Even karma or even jnana will not ground us because jnana has a weakness of getting rooted in our ego. Gnani will always be arrogant that I know Shastra, I know Bhagavad Gita, I know Vedanta. So that ego itself is there. So you are detached from one and get attached to another. Difference is nothing. So that is why I feel the only thing that can ground us is devotion. One is to not show that something bad happened. We think that bad happened. Who said crying is bad? Who said getting hurt is bad? You know, in India, when we were very young, I used to come home crying certain time. And my mom would ask me, who hit you? That was the question. Now, is it naturally assumed that I am crying because somebody hit me? It isn't. But this thought is now put into the child's mind that somebody hit you, so getting hit is bad. So why should we show that there is something bad that happened? Nothing really bad happened. Things or events that happened were a natural course. Why did somebody behave in the manner they behaved? So you say that that is their nature. What we should do is we should avoid that nature. If somebody is bullying, somebody is being mean, you should say that that is their nature. They're not bad. It's just that their nature is very different from yours. So if the nature is different, you should not get along with that person. You should try to find ways to stay with those friends who are nice to you. But you don't be mean to that person. You be nice to that person, but you don't interact with that person. So the idea basically is not to show that, not to highlight these bad things, that these bad things are happening. There is nothing really bad. Bad and good is a perspective of our mind. All we have to do is switch the thinking to everything is good. There was one child who asked me, her father passed away. So she asked me, you know, why does God do these things where he takes away, why does bad things happen to good people? That was the question she asked. So I said, there is no such thing as bad thing. And she herself said after that statement that, you know, my mom said that God wanted dad to come close to him. That's why he called him early. I said, see, there is always this positive side. So why should we limit ourselves to think that there is bad in this world? There isn't. Always try to find a positive outlook towards life. And when we do, we'll try to enjoy life more than be bothered by these small things. Okay. 10:45. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.